is going to be a beginner sequence, and it could probably take maybe between 30 and 40 minutes. So having that out, have bricks and blankets handy so you don't have to worry about going off and getting them. So always be well prepared when you put yourself on the mat for any sort of practice. And come and stand in the center of your mats and be in Tadasana. So in Tadasana, we're wanting to see if we can find a balance in standing. We tend to stand forward with the front body forward. We have that tendency. So see if you can bring the weight back onto your heels. And as you do that, spread your toes out and like fan them out, but it also extend and spread them as if you're extending them forward away from the soles of your feet. And then let the soles of the toes just come quietly onto the floor. Bring the weight back on your heels so you feel that connection of your legs, the thighs, those big thigh muscles, feeling the bones of the body. And then begin to get that lift and spreading of your chest. Front pelvis to your waist, back pelvis, tailbone holding firmly towards the leg side. Floating ribs spreading. So see that you're not narrowing that space. And then gradually find that space, you know, if you have that measure of the base of the sternum, about three fingers underneath there, so the chest doesn't begin to sink down towards the floor side. Front ribs away from the legs. Back chest sharp, pin the scapula, really pin them against your back chest and extend your arms. And just don't let your arms hang, extend them. Extend right to your very fingertips. Tadasana. And then watch. Again, we have a tendency to let the face, you know, begin to come forward so the head is more or less hanging off the neck. So lift your chest and see if you can get that feeling that you're bringing in the front of the face towards the back of the head. But at the same time, you've got to keep lifting your chest. If you don't lift your chest, you begin to get a jamming in your throat. Tadasana. Release your tongue. See that you've got to notice in your practice if you're gripping your tongue, that you're not pushing it onto your teeth or you're not gripping your jaw. And that often comes because we begin to focus on what we're doing. Then we've got to endeavour to get that ability to be able to focus and still quieten and find your breath. Urdhva Hastasana. And as you take both arms up, lift the chest and then interlock your fingers, turn your palms out and up towards the ceiling and go to extending and lengthening through your arms again. So as you do that, just don't do from your upper arm. Don't do it from your shoulders. Do it from your feet. Weight your heels, firm your thighs, front waist to your chest, spreading your floating ribs and see how much more space you get. So it's a tremendous lateral lengthening extension. And then release, bend your elbows, release your hands, opposite interlock. Always do both interlocks. Turn your palms and extend your arms. So you might find when you extend your arms up, your upper arms are a little forward of your face. Don't lift and jam back, but lift first, lengthen, and then see if you can take your arms a little bit further up, back, so they're more in line with the ears. But just really watch as you do it. You don't begin to over-jam your lumbar. You've got to really contain and hold and lift through that front waist. It supports and lengthens your lumbar. And then release and bring your arms back down to the side. Now, Adho Uttanasana. So place your hands onto the wall. Spread your fingers like you spread your toes. Spread your fingers. Feel the skin of the hands, the palm of the hands. Spread that against the wall. And step back enough so your trunk is more parallel and your legs are more perpendicular. It's a simple opening and lengthening. You can see in the image of that Kirsten, her head isn't hanging heavily. But slightly lift your eyes so you hold and get that sharpness in your back chest. And then lengthen, bend your knees a little, bend them a little. Extend back, lengthen like you did in Urdhvabhaja Angulasana. And then exhale. But watch when you straighten your legs, your side ribs don't shorten to your arms. As you straighten your legs, keep lengthening your side ribs back away from your arms. So you maintain the length and the space and the extension, not just in your arms and your side ribs and chest, but it engages your whole spine. And then step your right foot forward a little and turn your hands out, even though it's not on the images, turn your hands out. So your upper arm turns more and step back and do it one more time. And see then, you've got to work your thumb. You've got to work the thumb side of the wrist so you don't begin to get heavy on the little finger side of the hand. Spread from the little finger to the index finger and thumb and get a little bit more holding in your upper arm. And just quieten your breath for a moment and just feel like you can just stay quiet. Lengthening, and as you stay, you've got to watch. You just observe. You know, you may begin to let your legs go a little heavy, or your side ribs begin to shorten. Just correct that, and step your right leg, left leg forward, and come up. So, when you do your Adho Mukha Svanasana, have a wall. Put your mat against a wall. If you haven't got a wall, it doesn't matter. Thumbs to the wall. And again, see if you can get us, because you're weight bearing on your joints of your arms and your shoulders, you'll have to do a lot more work on the arms and on the legs to get the height and the lift and the extension. Release the back of your head. Just inhaling and exhaling, watch. You've got to observe that if you do hold your breath, see if you can stop. Quieten. Bend your knees, come down. And then go again. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Up you go. So it's a little bit more height in the hips. Draw your heels up and suck the back ribs to the legs. Hold the firmness on the upper thigh. So you can see your knees if they're soft and hanging. You need to get a little bit more height, a little bit more lift. And then as you take your heels back, lift up through your arms, side ribs. Quiet. And then bend your knees and come down. And this time when you come down, sit in Virasana with as much support as you need. Check that your feet are turning back. So your toes, your toenails and the top of your foot are lengthening along the floor. If you need extra support behind the back of your knees, and if it's really challenging and difficult on your knees, sit on a chair or sit on the edge of your coffee table or whatever is a suitable height to take the tension away from your knees. And sit tall. Keep your throat quiet. And now Garudasana. So your right arm comes over the top of the left. Entwine your forearms. Palms of the hands eventually come together. And just watch. You know, you might, you know, it could be a bit of a struggle, but make it worthwhile. If you can't get your forearms entwined, see if you can bring your right upper arm a little bit more further across towards the left, and then bring that left forearm underneath so you can begin to entwine your forearms. And just spread your chest, even though your elbows are really over the top of one another. Lift your chest. Tremendous releasing for your neck and your shoulders. And then reverse and do the other side. So you might find one side is more challenging than the other, but that's all about looking at our imbalances and understanding our imbalances. Keep your throat quiet. Watch when you do these that you don't grip and hold your tongue, because that creates a tightness, that creates tension. And then release your arms. Okay. And then Adho Mukha Svanasana again. And just let your head release. Spread your heels back. And you might find your upper arms and your necks are a little bit more spacious. Spread your toes. Get your upper thighs just above your knee. Work there. Back of the legs rolling out. Just inhaling and exhaling, of getting blood into your head, into your throat, into your chest. If you're not doing inversions like headstand, for example, Adho Mukha Svanasana is a good asana to be able to do to get that blood flowing into your head. And then bend your knees, come down. So we'll do Parigasana. So bend your knee and have your shin, your left shin along the floor. And maybe bring your knee about in line with the front edge of your mat so that when you take your right leg out to the wall, and mind you, if you haven't got wall space, you can always do it against the leg of your coffee table or even put a brick there or a book or something to put your foot up against. It's all doable. And then make sure your upper leg really turns well. Take both arms out to the side. And remember those arm movements that you've just done. Pin the scapula against your back chest and feel as you do that, you might get a further spreading from the centre of the sternum right out to your very fingertips. And then turn your arms in a way, you're turning them right from the source, right where the big arm bone joins onto the shoulder joint, and your palms turn up. And remember, it's lateral. You don't bend from your waist, but right from the where the junction of your leg and your pelvis meet. So lift your waist. It's just not a structural movement. It's organic as well. So lift through your waist, extend out to the right side, turn your fingers down towards your toes, palm of the hand onto the wall. And of course, if you haven't got a wall, you can let your hand come down to your shin. Bring your left hand onto your back waist and just see if you can get a little bit more space from the right chest to the left. And now extend your left arm, turn it again, and when you're extending it over your head, aim to keep the arm at least in line with your ear. See that your arm doesn't come forward of your face. Extend it right to your very fingertips. Go further, extend more, extend, extend, extend. Inhale, come up. And do the other side. And again, if you're having concerns with your knees, do it by putting your left foot up the wall and standing on your right leg. So don't, you can do it like you're doing or teeter trick on asana. Extend your arms out to shoulder height. Spread your chest. And now parigasana, left side. And get the space. It's like you want to lift your pelvis away from your legs. Lift them off your legs. And when you turn your fingers down towards your toes or rest the back of your hand onto your shin, turn your upper arm. Spread your chest from left to right. And then extend your left right arm over. Extend it. Lift your chest as you do it. Aim to get that arm at least in line with your ear. Don't take your head forward to get your arm in line with your ear. Lift your chest and extend your elbow. Extend the knuckles of your fingers. Extend right to your fingertips. You might find your breathing will change quite dramatically. So just watch you don't hold your breath in this. Inhale, come up. And then release. And then lie onto your floor, onto your back for Supta Bhadangasana 1. Have a strap if you do. If you haven't got a strap, you might have a belt, you might have a scarf. Keep your feet against the wall, if you can manage. If you can't, have your feet together. Big toe, inner heel. And before you take your right leg up and straighten it, bend your right leg and hold the shin so your right knee's bent. And just draw your thigh and your shin down towards the outside of your right chest. So you're just really opening and lengthening and releasing around the buttocks and the hips. And just keep your breath soft. And just keep that left leg rolling in. Be very mindful that you just don't get caught up in the leg you're moving. Extend your inner heel. And then release your right leg. And then go to bending your left. And as you bend your left leg, extend your right inner heel. And just be quiet. Don't pull, pull, pull. Just release. Inhale and exhale. Just release. Hold the shin. And if you have, again, if you have knee concerns and it's difficult to hold the shin, hold the back of the thigh and draw your thigh down towards your chest. And then release your leg. Bend your right leg in. Put the strap around your right foot. Extend your right leg. Now we're aiming to get your leg straight. So you've got to know if your leg is straight. You can see just below your knee on the upper thigh if there's a bit of softness, if the muscle's a bit flaccid. So firm there first. Because your thigh muscle and your hamstring muscle, they work together. When one's contracted, one's extended. And particularly with the hamstrings, it's important that, you know, you don't pull the ends of the muscle, but you work the belly of the muscle. And so make sure your thighs are firm, your thigh muscles firm. And then bend the elbows a little wider. Bring your leg forward and just watch as you bring it forward. You might feel the back of the leg a little more, so watch you don't tighten and hold your breath. And then release your leg. Good, okay. Readjust your legs for the left side. So bend your left leg up. Strap around your foot. Spread your chest. And again, even though you're not feeling your extension, any extension in your arms, you've got to work your arms still. They're part of the pose, your arms. So extend, lengthen through the back of the leg. And watch as you straighten your leg up. You don't begin to lift the inner groin. The inner groin's got to stay soft. So slightly bend your knee. And notice when you bend your knee, your groin right at the very top where it probably touches the outside edge of the pelvis. Just see it soften, release in there. And that will help release and broaden across your back pelvis. And then slowly straighten your leg and spread the back of the knee. And then bend your elbows wide. And just allow the breath to stay quiet. And then release your leg. Okay, Supta Padangustasana 2. And I suggest that we perhaps support your outer thigh with either a brick if you have one, or a blanket, or maybe you might need to use books, just to allow you to get a bit more quietness. So bend your right leg up. Take the strap around your right foot. That's it. Keep your chest broad. You can see in the image how Kirsten is really extending that left arm, not allowing the left side of the torso to roll. And then turn your right leg out. Really grab it, turn it out right at the very top, just like you turned your arms at the top. So turn your upper leg right at the where the junction, you can feel it, the junction between the top of the leg and the buttock, outer buttock. And now exhale, extend out to the right. And then pause just for a moment when you, if you get that feeling that your left pelvis is beginning to roll to the right. And see if you can adjust and broaden your right pelvis back to the left. Bend your knee if you need to and get the feeling of keeping the pelvis broad. And then quietly extend your leg. So to improve, you've got to see that you do that. If you let your left hip keep coming over to the right, then no improvement will come. No change will come. Inhale, come up. And then do the left side. Take your left leg up. And then turn your left leg out and go across to the left. And same here. Your outer thigh, left thigh will probably begin to touch the support. But don't soften anything. Keep the firmness and containment around your buttock and your outer leg and the front of the leg, so the back of the leg will stay broad. And as you take it out, and again adjust if you need to. Adjust, you need to bend your knee to adjust to keep the pelvis broad, do that. And then quietly straighten your leg. Quieten your breath. Inhale, come up. Okay, take the support away from your outer legs. Because we'll do Jatara Parvottanasana, which is that lateral twist. You bend your knees, bring your heels to your buttock. Now slightly shift your hips to the left. And when you, it's an abdominal, so bring your thighs to the abdomen and aim to get your knees up towards your right arm, which is out to the side. Extend your left arm to the left strongly to bring your right chest to the left, to your left fingertips. And then take your right legs across to the right. Take your legs across to the right. And as you do that, the pelvis and the hips turn together with the legs. It's unlike your sitting twists. And then inhale, come up. Shift to the left. Shift your hips to the right. Thighs to the abdomen. And it's if you find your legs won't stay up towards your knees, they won't stay up towards your left arm, hold them with your arms and your hands. So take hold with your left hand and draw them up towards the shoulder height as you turn towards the left side. You can always put a brick underneath your outer thighs. You might find that gives you a little bit more space and a little bit more ability to be able to turn your chest now from left to right. So your waist, your chest and your arms and your shoulders go back to the right where everything else is going off to the left. And then come back to the center. And then come back up. Up you stand. Be steady. For Vrksasana. So bend your right leg in. Bring the sole of the foot to the inner thigh. Don't worry about taking your arms up first. Just get that stability in your balance. If you can't bring your foot up high enough, take a strap, put it around the shin. And then take your leg down. And now do the other side. That's better. And take your left leg down. Take your right leg up again. Hold the firmness around your outer buttock. Now bring the palms of the hands together in front of your chest. Lift your chest and extend your arms up in Urdhva Hastasana. And the more you extend your arms, the more your balance will come. The more you'll become stable. And then release and bring your arms down. Take your left leg up. Go on, inner groin to the knee. Just like in your Padangasana. Lengthen that inner leg. Take your arms up, Urdhva Hastasana. Your balance, you need to come to that very sense of quietness for your balance. And then release and bring your legs down. Good. Okay, Uttita Trikonasana. Take your little toe side of your left foot to the wall. And step your right leg out. And so your upper leg turns, like in Supta Padangasana 2. But because you're weight-bearing again on your joints, you have to work those muscles well, of your upper thigh, of your back heel, your frontal left thigh. Extend your arms out to shoulder height. Inhale, lateral. Lateral like in Parigasana, extend out to the right. Big extension to the lateral. And once your right hand touches, don't force it down lower. Just let it touch either your shin. If you're using a brick, you can have your hand on the brick. And spread your upper arm so your chest stays open. Lift your waist and turn your pelvis from right to left. Your back leg will help you. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward. And now turn around to the left. Right, little toe side of your right foot to the wall. Step your left leg out. And you'll know if you've got a wide enough stance. You'll know if it's too narrow. Certainly. So make sure you have enough space. Extend your arms. Inhale, exhale. Uttita Trikonasana. And as you extend, get both legs. In your standing poses, your organs of action, your arms and your legs work. You're getting the circulation moving, your energy moving. Inhale, come up and bring your feet together. Good. Okay, so let's go to Uttita Parsvakonasana. Little toe side of your left foot to the wall. Step your right leg out. And remember in Uttita Parsvakonasana, it's important that you don't let your knee override your shin. So your shin, you can see how Kirsten's got a shin perpendicular. So make sure it's perpendicular like that. If you need a brick underneath your hand, use it. not on the high side. None of you probably need it on the high side. Extend your arms out to the side. Now, broaden your pelvis, lift your chest, and now begin to release your groin to allow the knee to bend, the ankle to bend. And as you begin to go a little bit lower, broaden your pelvis from right to left by working that back leg. And now hold and contain and broaden your pelvis, back leg anchoring. Extend laterally out to the right. Right hand touches the floor or to the brick. Extend your right, left arm up. And like in Parigasana, extend it. Just don't take it, extend it. Extend right from your back heel. So don't let the armpit drop. Extend the elbow. Lengthen to your fingertips. And come up. Bring the feet forward. And go to the left side. So your little toe side of your foot along the floor. Or along the wall, I should say. Or a brick. If you have a brick, you can put a brick there. Of course, it's not quite as stable as a wall, but you've got somewhere to guide you on your little toe side of your foot. Weight your right heel and make your frontal thigh hold to the bone so it's not puffing. It can't puff. Don't let it puff forward. Your inner leg holds from the below the inner knee to the inner groin. And if you're doing that, you won't get a puffing of your thigh. Release your left leg. But as you release your left groin, don't let your left buttock soften. Your left buttock holds, firms. Inner groin to the knee. And then laterally extend to the left. And once you're extending to the left, extend your right arm over. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward. Okay. Garudasana. So give it a go. Like you just did, your three joints bend, ankle, knee, groin. Hook the right arm, leg over the top of the left. And you've done the arms before, so take your left arm over the top of the right and see how you go. You've got to really work your left foot, your right foot against the left calf. And if you can't hook over enough to take your foot behind the calf, just put a brick there or some support so you can place your toes on that support on the outside edge of your left foot. And then untwine and do the left side. So groin softens, but the weight stays on the heel. The weight stays on your right heel. And once you've hooked across, you might notice that the left knee is really, the left hip is beginning to turn forward a little. So see if you can bring your left hip back to the left so your right hip and your left hip stay more even. But work your foot against your calf. And then release, untwine. And come up. Okay, Parsvottanasana. Left heel against the wall, step your right leg forward. If you know you need support underneath your hands, use it. So both legs are rolling in now, just like in Garudasana. Roll your legs in. Weight your left back heel. Feel the big toe and the root of the big toe of your right firmly anchoring for your balance, the front of your thigh firm. Urdhva Hastasana. Parsvottanasana. Extend to the right side down. And let both legs hold. Both legs rolling in. And make sure you adjust that back leg if you need to, so your left hip isn't rolling up and out. Bend your right leg a little. turn your waist, your pelvis from left to right. So the left leg is rolling in. And then as you straighten your right leg, really work the big toe and the root of the big toe of the right foot. So you draw the front of your upper right leg up. Bend your elbows wide, release your head. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward. And bring your hands and feet together. Go, let's do the left side. Right heel back. As you step your left leg forward, again, go to your feet. They're your base. Whatever's closest to the floor, Guruji says, is your base, your foundation. So you've got to make it firm. Your balance will come from there. And it is a sort of balance. So you might find yourself a little bit wobbly. And often it's the lack of strength in the ankle or the outer upper leg. So press on your big toe, press on your inner heel, and you find you'll get a little bit more stability. Urdhva Hastasana. Pajvottanasana. Back heel firm. And just take time not to go down, just stay quiet, work your legs, work the pelvis, big toes, so the back of your upper leg, left leg, stays up, back of the knee up, bend the elbows wide, and watch when you bend your elbows wide to take your head further and trunk further down, that you don't let the back of your right left leg drop down. The back of your leg lifts up. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward. And bring your feet together. Okay, you can do a chest open now, just for a few moments. You can either use a chair if you've got a chair. But if you haven't got a chair, roll a blanket up. Or even your mat up. And just let your chest open. It's important to keep that chest spreading, the lungs open. We need that. We need that in these times to keep the freshness and the elasticity and the mobility in your lungs. Your floating ribs stay broad and you don't harden your throat. So you've got to watch the throat doesn't harden. Just inhaling, pause, be quiet now for a few moments. When you take yourself over, if you're over a chair or over a roll. See, you don't compromise the neck and the throat. Your shoulders dip down towards the floor. And at any time you feel tension in your throat, then maybe you might need to put an extra support. Not too much. Don't put too much underneath your neck mainly, rather than your whole head. Just quiet inhalation and exhalation. Release the jaw, the tongue. Remember, if you want to stay a little more in any of the poses, you can always just turn the audio off for a while and stay quiet. Of course, you're going to bend your knees now, roll over to the right side. So you've got a good impression on your back chest. So you're going to sit up. I suggest you sit on a blanket. You can see how Kirsten is sitting up on a blanket. It gives a bit more height through the pelvis and your spine. And do Marichyasana 1. It's a simple open twist. So turn to the right, bend your left leg, turn to the right, take the left arm on the inside of your left knee, and don't over push the knee to the left. If anything, hold the outer left knee to the left arm, and so you can get a little bit more space and height and lift. And just quietly, be quiet with your twist. Don't push your twist. So turn your pelvis and your waist first, then your chest, and let the head follow. Don't do it from your head. And then come back and do the right, bend your right leg and turn to the left. Just quieten, see your breath, inhaling, pause, exhaling. Turn quietly, see your lower abdomen turns. Remember organic turning. You can feel how when you sit tall and lift through your waist, those organs of the pelvis are being turned. And so there's spreading and opening in your diaphragm. And then come back. Okay, we'll do Marichyasana 3. So bend your right leg up again. And you're going to turn to the right this time. Keep the height. That's really, really important. So if you can't keep the height when you take your arm across, stay a little while holding the shin. Lift and hold your back ribs. Where that roll of blanket or over the chair was, suck that in. So you get the space underneath the breast area and your front ribs lift up towards your head side. Suck the back ribs in. And now turn your lower abdomen from left to right. Turn your waist, turn, lift and turn. Remember to lift and turn. If you're hooking, use your arm to lift at the same time. And just stay, when you stay quiet, don't sink. You've got the space, so stay tall, quiet, and then come back. And do the left side. So turn to the left. As you turn to the left, stay quiet. And again, watch as you're turning and you're working that physical body initially, that you'll feel that you're not gripping your tongue or your throat. So inhale, exhale, turn. Inhale, exhale, turn again. And if you're hooking, hook over. Stay quiet. And then come back. Okay, we'll do some variation of shoulder stand. So if you do classic shoulder stand, and some of you probably do, you prepare to go up. If you've got a chair, you can use a chair. You can see the images. And if you haven't got a chair and you're not doing the classic shoulder stand, you can do setubun on a brick, or you can do a quieter setubun on a support, or you can do viparita karani. So you've all got something to do. Every one of you can do one of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. So those that are going up into shoulder stand, just see once you're up that you've gotten the correct adjustment on your arms. If you need to readjust, bring your legs down into a halasana, readjust your arms. And again, we're not teaching. You should know how to strap your arms and your upper arms correctly. Your hands are placed on your back ribs. You've got to see that your buttocks hold to your legs, because if they drop, you'll get a lot of tension in your neck and your throat and your lower back. Your legs absolutely charge strongly. So look at your legs and make your legs extend away from your face. Frontal thighs hold. Eyes stay quiet. No matter what variation you're doing, have your face, your eyes, your tongue, your throat quiet. And just observe your eyes, not in shoulder stand, but your eyes in the other variations might be need to feel as like they close, but let your eyes look down towards your center chest. And those that are doing shoulder stands, your eyes look there to lift your chest, but then you've got to keep that observing on your legs, what's happening, your inner heel, spreading of your big toe. Back ribs hold. Just inhaling and exhaling. You've worked all the groups of asanas. You've done twists, you've done forward bends, you've done standing poses. Probably haven't done a back bending, but those that are in Setuband, you can feel like you curve. You've all curved your chest. You went over the sticky mat or over the chair. Come back to your legs, just a few more moments. Charge your legs. Those that are, if you're doing chair shoulder stand, bend your knees, do Baddha Konasana and prepare to come down. If you're doing Setuband on a brick, just lift your buttocks, just hold there, remove your brick, come down. Those that are in Setuband on the bolster, bend your knees, roll over, come out. Those in Viparita Karani, bend your knees, move yourself back towards, away from the wall. Just rest there for a moment. And then those that are in Shavasana shoulder stand, just quietly bring your feet down. If you haven't something in front of you to come to Halasana, then if you need, when you bring your feet on the floor, watch you don't overstrain your neck. You can bend your knees. You can release your strap. Extend your arms over your head. And slowly roll yourself out of your Shavasana. Jumping ahead of myself. You can see after you've done your Shavasana or any variation, you're very quiet. So it prepares you for your Shavasana. It's up to you if you lay flat on the floor or put something underneath your spine, but make sure you have adequate support underneath your head. Whatever you need to take you and to finish off this practice. When you place your body down, again, it's important to make sure you know that your spine is well placed. Your arms out to the side, even. And to check your legs, that your legs aren't drifting off to the right or to the left. And once they've adjusted, like as if you're doing Tadasana, let the little toe side of the foot drop away. If you find you need to have your feet slightly apart, do. Do whatever you need to be quiet. Back of the head quiet, back of the neck and the throat. Face. Eyes, organs of action, quiet now. done their work, they've done their job. And just let your eyes quiet and look down towards your center chest. Let the ears quieten. They don't need to know what's going on outside. It's about what's going on inside. And gradually allow yourself to hear the inhalation and the exhalation. Slow, quiet, soft inhalation, exhalation. If you become a little unsettled, you find that the mental body begins to stick its nose in your quietness, just deepen the exhalation breath. Just inhaling, exhaling. Quiet now. And gradually, as the organs of perception are quiet, it's called pratyahara, quietening of the senses. Find that your breath, you'll hear the breath, the mental body is quietened, and the mind begins to find the breath. Your mental body is situated in your head. Your mind body exists everywhere. Your conscious mind body. Inhaling, pausing, exhaling. Shavasana.